We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
How did Tony La Russa, how's he handling your mean Mercedes as a phenomenon?
He has a good day tomorrow. He may play. He may play Wednesday. I know he shouldn't play the opening day at home. I don't think our fans are excited to see him. There'll be booed introductions.
Oh, God.
His pauses give me anxiety.
Oh, absolutely. Fun fact, the carpentry in the background was somebody building a coffin for Tony La Russa.
Jesus.
That's a tough listen. A texter suggests that Tony sounds like old Johnny Cash on the Rick Rubin-produced solo records, unlike Hurt. You ever hear Johnny Cash's version?
I hurt myself today.
I hurt myself today.
You know, there's an old saying. I mean, unfortunately, when you're talking with an old guy, you get a lot of sayings that are old.
Bases loaded, one gone for the Mariners' leadoff hitter. And the Mariners have tied the ball game. Surprised there's nobody up at the bullpen?
No.
I hurt myself today.
Lousy managing. Stupid.
To see if I still feel.
3-2 from Foster. It's high, it's ball four. Seager left-hand side. That is down, and the Mariners will take the lead in a big way. 8-4 Seattle on that hit from Marmolejos. And Matt Foster has seen a lot of Mariners.
Well, that's probably the clearest example why I'm upset with myself. I mean, he faced too many hitters.
And you could have it all.
Lousy. No excuse.
One, two, three.
And here we go, Tony.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and Odyssey Station.
Oh, I gotta say, it's more interesting on the south side than the north side, but the Cubs did win a game. And Speegs, I think we have just the new caveat of, hey, if something goes wrong, if a guest doesn't come on, or I mess up a tease, or you ask Flew LeBorg about the Holocaust, I mean, Tanny would never mess up. We know he's the best sound man in the business. We'd just be like,
yeah,
I'm lousy. It was lousy.
Oh, stupid. Okay. Lousy.
Stupid. Lousy. And then you just move on, and everyone forgives you because you're a Hall of Famer baseball person. What's up, man?
It's actually a very smart approach because people are going to move on no matter what. Like, you have to move on. You have no choice but to show up the next day. So you might as well point the thumb. It is a life hack of sorts, as long as you can live with yourself. And I think in the long run, we're all going to be like, well, at least he knew he sucked. You know, at least he didn't try and sell
us.
Yes, absolutely. But he didn't try and sell anybody a bill of goods or anything. Just kind of took it and moved on. Although fans perhaps not moving on as much as he would like. But if he could actually move on and not bring it into the next day, whatever you need, Tony, whatever you need. That was horrific bullpen management.
It was terrible. Here's my question for you. Like,
yeah.
Accountability is good, right? Like, I think, like, But I don't want it to get confused with, like, oh, well, then it's okay. Right? Like, he approached it the right way. He fell on the sword. He said it was his fault. He made no excuses. In terms of PR, that's smart. What everyone should want.
Yeah.
However,
it sure doesn't excuse it. It's still horrific, man.
Correct.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What is going on here?
Like, that's the question. What is going on here when it is so incredibly obvious that Matt Foster should have been taken out and is allowed to pitch to that many guys and to throw that many pitches? Does Ethan Katz say something and it not get listened to? Does Ethan Katz not say anything because Tony La Russa is the inventor of the modern bullpen and is a Hall of Famer? You know, does Joe McEwing say anything? Like, what is the dialogue as it's happening in that dugout? That is crucial. And if I'm Rick Hahn, I know that today. I go down and I figure it out. Maybe last night in a Zoom or maybe today in person, you get to the bottom of what the hell happened in that inning, because that is the most important thing. What's the dynamic that allowed that to take place, and how do you not let that happen again?
But what I say, what the hell's going on here, I actually mean more than just that incident, because they both played seven games, and we have like four very high-profile direct managerial, right? The botched use it or lose it review, uh-huh. Right? The your criticism of Hendricks not being used in the high leverage spot in the tie game, which we just saw Craig Counsell use with Hader yesterday.
Correct.
Against the Cubs, right? Becoming much
road,
more
good,
common.
Good in, call, good comp. It, absolutely.
Right? I mean,
get your outs with your closer, whether you need him. That philosophical choice was horrific. So those two, yes. Right. And now this bullpen management.
Then Foster yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then this, you could say, isn't a mistake necessarily, but it is just a little weird. And we know that the front office has input in lineups and they have a plan beforehand. It's not like it's Tony La Russa's plan directly. But should they not be manipulating service time with Andrew Vaughn if he's not going to be in the lineup for your home opener when Eloy and Engel are hurt? Who is Nick Williams?
Nick Williams was a Phillies prospect who I had on a fantasy team 3 years ago for 2 weeks, and I was excited about that. But no, he was a guy, he kept getting some chances in Philly. I think he was somewhere before that anyway. But yeah, he's not Andrew Vaughn. He's not Andrew Vaughn. He's not Andrew Vaughn. And even, you know, I don't think they should be manipulating service time because it's time to win. But even with that disregarded, he should be in the damn lineup most of the time. He just now is starting to feel it offensively. He is a high round draft pick who should be playing, but you happened on a serious thing. How much control does Rick Hahn have over the lineup? How much control should he have over the lineup? Theo had full control even when Joe Maddon was here. You heard Joe Maddon last week with Lawrence talk about how much control he has now because Perry Minasian lets him do what he wants in L.A. Theo didn't let him do what he wanted here. But now Tony appears to have full space command, and I don't think Rick is happy about it.
You know, Danny, I'm not that interested.
Well, you know, Rick, you're going to be real excited to fire this manager who was forced down your throat, aren't you? Because this is getting a little awkward, a little fast. And they're still really talented, and they're hurt, yeah. And I'm sure it'll be fine. But, yo, there should not be this many mistakes this early. And I would say this also, man.
Wait a minute, hold on.
If this was Rick Renteria, it would be a much bigger deal than it has been so far.
I think it's a pretty big deal. I think it's a pretty big deal. I hear what you're saying there, but that line and that idea of Rick Hahn licking his chops as he arms himself with evidence for the Zoom with Jerry Reinsdorf where he says, "Can I fire him yet?" is you got me thinking about that because, Rick would relish the opportunity to go to the boss and say, look, we're having a problem, maybe you've noticed in the standings, and maybe you've noticed with some usage, and I'd like to talk about this with you before the season gets away. And I bet he has a very thick folder of evidentiary materials on the ready if such Zoom ever takes place.
And we know Jerry won't fire Tony La Russa again, but it could very well be. It's a parting of ways. Like, it didn't work. We took our shot for this season, and you move on. And I'm not saying that's going to happen yet, but it's been an awful start. Awful. F.
It's interesting. Would it be a parting of the ways? Would it be, you know what, I think I'm going to continue to help this organization the way that I had dreamed of and Jerry and I had talked about, but I think I'll do it from upstairs. I'll do it in a different way. I'll do it the way that I was doing it with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Kick
himself upstairs. That's the White Sox way anyway. Just kick yourself further upstairs.
Because, listen, Tony La Russa, it's not his fault that starters aren't going deeper into games. It's not his fault that they lead the league or the world in errors, right? I mean, it's not all on him. But the team isn't ready to play. They're playing sloppy. Some of that has to be a reflection on him. It's win now. And four direct mistakes attributed to the manager a week into the season when he's the guy who's not supposed to be making the tactical mistakes because he's the Hall of Fame baseball person?
Yeah.
It's been an F from the baseball. We thought it was going to be an A from the baseball execution standpoint and an F from the PR standpoint and, like, the relationships. The relationships have been great.
Yeah,
it's been the baseball.
As far as we know, the relationships have been great. I really want to know what happened in that dugout. I want to know that dynamic as Matt Foster was left there hung out to dry for batter after batter after batter. That's what inquiring minds are desperate for. I'll say three. I don't think I can give you four managerial mistakes because one is a usage thing which is left up to him. But even if it's three, call it three serious managerial mistakes and or philosophical issues out of seven games. That's too damn many. It's too damn many. And all bullpens are going to falter a little bit. And the first week or two of a season, there's going to be a feeling out process to figure out which guys truly came north with the goods and the metal to do it. But it's real ugly. And I don't fault anybody for their lack of comfort if you're a White Sox fan, that's for sure.
So the White Sox are hopefully going to get their home opener underway here, a little delayed coming up. They say tentative first pitch scheduled for 5:20. We know we're on after Cubs. There will be plenty of Cubs, especially once the White Sox game starts. Man. Javi Baez golfed a home run out of there, and Craig Kimbrel had his first 5-plus out save of the regular season of his career, his 350th career save. Bryant with another homer and another Cubs win has them at 4-3 on the season.
A lot to talk about there. I look forward to getting to it with you. Bravo to Chris Tannehill as always, of course, but man, Johnny Cash and Tony La Russa living together. They are inextricably linked for the rest of the season for me. I look forward to cycling through all those Rick Rubin albums that Johnny made, a different solo acoustic track to accompany every Tony La Russa post-game breakdown for the rest of the year. Keep it here on Parkinson Spiegel for that kind of stuff.
I can't wait. I will be contributing every day to that exact type of content. But we were able earlier today to tape a conversation with Yermín Mercedes. He's one of the stories of baseball so far. He was an absolute delight to talk to. He started the season 8-for-8, 28-year-old rookie, this is his third organization, and he's become a little bit of a phenomenon. And he revealed something to us about his connection, his relationship to a potential future Hall of Famer. It was awesome conversation. So if you want to get to know a little bit more about the person behind one of the biggest stories in baseball, our conversation with Yermín Mercedes before first pitch of the White Sox game, then it's back to Cubs. It's Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
In your face, Chicago sports talk with great opinions, guests, and fun.
Nope. Afternoons on the score.
I'm on a mission for dime pieces and sexy ladies. Allow me to introduce you to my
Yermín Mercedes.
This nickname that they've hung on you now, calling you the Yerminator, how are you with that? Are you okay being referred to as a Yerminator?
Yes. Okay. Feeling great.
I love it.
Chicago loves me with that name right there.
Mercedes has his first major league hit. Your mean Mercedes, keep that baseball too. It's 7-1. A little inside out job. And four hits for your mean Mercedes. Your mean to left field, down the line. That is fair. It's a 5-for-5. Mercedes turns on it, down the left field line. Did he? Yes, he did. The fun never stops with number 73. Your mean Mercedes, bring him home. Mercedes up the middle. He is 7-for-7 to open the year. This is number 8. And it takes a big old bounce. Your mean Mercedes, send him to the All-Star game.
Your mean, congratulations on Player of the Week honors.
I want to see my people. I want to see the Your mean fans, the Your mean native fans. I'm so excited. I can't wait. So we will see on Thursday. We'll be there.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
He's taken the baseball world by storm. He has stepped in admirably through the first 7 games in place of Eloy Jimenez for a team that really needs it. And his personality speaks through the TV seem to be infectious. And I know we're about to play the conversation with him, but I was just smiling while we were talking to Yermín Mercedes. It was awesome.
I was smiling when I saw him in person for the first time last year when you, me, and Mac were out there in Arizona. And just a couple of moments in the clubhouse, I'm like, oh, my God, look at that dude. He was maybe the most vibrant personality in a very bubbly clubhouse. So it's really nice on multiple levels to see him do this well. And I agree, you could feel it palpably in our conversation.
So here's our conversation from earlier today with Yermín Mercedes. We're playing it now before the White Sox game starts in about 15 minutes. There's a revelation in here. There's some cool stories in here. You'll get to know him a little bit better, I hope, by the end of this conversation. But I began by asking him and basically saying, like, so everybody seems to be surprised by how your season started because it was historic. Was he surprised by how his year started?
Not really. I never believed that I get at that starter right now. But for real, I'm just excited because I'm continuing doing good. I hope everything's going to work. Just keep working for that. But I'm going to feel great right now.
Yermín, I think you're going to be hearing the cheers of fans at these games, White Sox fans who are excited to see you. The emotions that you will be feeling, do you think it'll be emotional? You said you've been wanting to cry sometimes. Maybe you'll want to cry when the fans will cheer for you, Yermín.
yeah, because I wait a long time for this, you know. I just want to see my fans, see the love they had to me. You know, I'm very excited. I'm very happy because I'm right here right now, just waiting for the game, waiting to go outside, see what happened with them, have fun with them, you know, because I love my fans right here in Chicago. I'm feeling great with that.
Why do you think it took this long for you to make your big league debut?
I mean, for real, I didn't know. Maybe my other team don't give me the opportunity. But I just keep grinding, keep working hard because I thought one day I'd be here in the majors, but it's too long. Because I thought my other teams that not give it the opportunity, they give it to me. But it doesn't matter because I never give up. Just keeping working. Right now, I'm here in the majors.
You know, other teams like the Nationals and the Orioles, the teams that didn't give you the chance, they're embarrassed now. You're mean. They're being asked questions about it. Like, why didn't this happen for you guys? And they're like, oh, Oh, there was other stuff going on. You mean the way they're talking about it? What do you think they? Why didn't they believe in you? I wonder. Do you ever think about that? Why they didn't believe in you? That now the White Sox do?
I don't know. For real, I don't know. Because I know I have the talent, but you know, in that time, they have like a lot of prospects, something like that. Every year, and that year, I don't prosper and nothing like that. But I thought that's the reason they don't give you the opportunity, because they want to play, they prosper every year. I'm not prosper, but you know, I'm not feeling bad for that, because I know who I am. I just keep grinding, keep working. You know, it doesn't matter if that's the past, you know, that's the past. But right now, the White Sox give me the opportunity, and then I do my job. You know, I do the best I can do right now in the games.
Do you think that people were scared that you were going to try to hit a home run every time? Because you in batting practice with that big leg kick, you mean, and the way the hands move, I think they might have been afraid that that's all you were going to try to do every time.
Maybe. You never know. Maybe they see, oh, that's the big guy right there, and he liked the homers all the time. But, you know, I don't know if they care, but it's good. It's good. It's good.
We're talking to Yermín Mercedes. You've made it look so easy. Explain your approach to hitting, what you're thinking when you step into the batter's box.
I mean, it's not easy hitting, but for me, in the same time, it may be easy because, you know, I go to the plate, don't thinking about anything like feeling bad or something like that, or if I miss one at bat, it doesn't matter, you know, because I have a long time playing baseball, a long time take a bat. You know, for me, I never like no nervous or nothing, because I go to the home plate and do the best I can do in the home plate. You know, my approach is like, when I don't have a nice ride, I just do my regular leg key. When I have to ride, I just spread it out, just put the ball in play and get a contact.
Yeah, you mentioned two-strike approach. Anyone who's watched you has been impressed by that. So how do you – what do you do? You know, just contact? That's the only thing you're thinking when it gets to be two strikes?
Yes, I just want to put the ball in play. I don't want to strike out, but if I'm strike out, it's okay, you know. But I just want to put the ball in play, make a contact. That's the only I want to do. If I make a homer, better. But I just want to see the ball, get in contact, put the ball in play.
How long have you been doing that? When did that start for you, that two-strike approach? Because it's very special, you mean, to have that approach with two strikes.
It's coming when I thought my second year pro baseball with the Nationals. I'm going to start doing that. My two-strike approach, like, keep it a little down. Yeah, I thought in 2012. Yeah, like in 2012, like something like that.
So you've had this great approach for that long. What the hell were they thinking, Yermín Mercedes? They were crazy. It's our
good
fortune.
Crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy because everybody think about, oh, how we get out this guy right now. You know, they try to pitch me like not try, or, you know, to make me out. That's crazy.
You're mean. Growing up in the Dominican Republic, who were your favorite baseball players?
On the Dominican?
Yeah, just when you were a kid, when you were growing up, who were your favorite?
Robbie Cano, Robinson Cano, always my favorite player, because I was playing third base. I know catcher. when I young guys. So I'm always third base and second base. My favorite player always Robbie Cano. But let me tell you that I never imagined that Robbie is my cousin. You know that?
He's your cousin?
Yeah, Cano is my cousin because he got Mercedes from her mom. We family, yeah, he's my cousin. But I never believed that. I just thought 2019, when 19 or 18, something like that, when I've been to Winston-Salem, he called me, asking me, hey, I need to ask you something. You my cousin because I'm Mercedes too. Where you family from in Dominican? What place? Oh yeah, we're cousin. I say, oh yeah, really? I'm emotional when that time.
Wow. So no wonder you're such a good hitter. It's in the family. It's in the family, man.
Yeah, it's in the family. Yeah, good hitter is in the family.
Has he given you any advice or leadership as you've developed in your career?
Yeah, he always like to talk with me. He give me a couple things about him. We always talking. When a young guy, he go to La Romana because he live in San Pedro. He's like 30 minutes from my house. Always he go to La Romana, like play softball with Encarnacion, a lot of big league players. I always go to that games. I just see Cano. I just want to go see Robbie Cano because that's my favorite player. You know, like try to play with him, like catch with him. Hey, give me the batting glove. Give me the bat. Give me glove. You know, I'm always talk with him like that.
And now fans are going to do that to you. And now fans are going to be asking for your autograph and your batting glove.
Yeah, I hear from my fans. I want every my fans coming to the game tonight. Come to see me and come to take a photo, going to put it in Instagram and social media. I just wanted that for tonight. Every time when I'm here with the White Sox, I just want my fans be with me. Just playing with me all the time. Call me Germinator, Jeremy, or you know, whatever they feel comfortable. I just want to be here for my fans.
Do you like the nickname, the Germinator?
Yeah. I like my regular nickname is like a Napa, like Team Napa. But when I get in Chicago, they call me Germinator. So it's good too. I like it.
Have you seen the Terminator movies? You mean?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. So yeah, it's definitely said with love by your fans. That's for sure. I think your personality is important for this team. You mean? Because Eloy Jimenez had as a personality kind of like you, don't you think? Like very happy, very upbeat, smiling and relaxed. Mm-hmm. And without him around, I think it's important to have your personality as part of this team. What do you think?
Yeah. All my teammates, like they want to like joke with me, play with me, try to figure out me. You know, I just so excited because I just want to be like this with my teammates, like having fun and everything. Everything is going to be good. Because when you got a good relationship, everything is going to be good, you know, because when everything is bad, it's not good. So I'm happy with that.
Well, everything's going good so far. White Sox fans are loving it, and you're one of the biggest stories in baseball. So congratulations on your start, and keep it up. And thank you for your time. Thank you for coming on the show, Yermin.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
That was Yermin Mercedes ahead of White Sox opening day at Guaranteed Rate Field.
The only thing more likable than his personality is the two-strike approach. Like, they're neck and neck for me, you know, just how he quiets down and just tries to make contact. And I thought that was something fairly new that developed along the way. How about the fact that he had that going back to, like, 2012 and still two organizations were like, yeah, not for us. Thanks. We're good.
To the Sox benefit.
You bet.
Tanny, Shane, what'd you guys think?
He's just such a lovable dude. Like, he just, everything he says, you can just tell he's a kid who loves playing baseball and nothing else matters. He's not letting the game get too big in his head. He's going out there and doing what he's learned, swinging the bat and hitting the baseball. Nothing is too difficult.
I agree. He struck me as a big kid also, where he's just like, I can't wait for the fans to, you know, like, give me your batting gloves, give me your jersey, give me a picture, like, put it on Instagram. Like, I just, it was awesome.
Yeah, and however you get to that unaffected way, whether you're just a kid at heart or whether you, like, break it down and think about it so much and become mindful and become unaffected, however you can get there, he said it. He goes up the next time. He doesn't care about what happened the last time. Right, Danny? You heard that in there. He's like, he doesn't care. He's like, I've played enough baseball to know I'll be fine the next time he goes up there. That's what you want. That's the mindset, that beginner's mind, as Carlos Pena used to talk about it that way all the time. Tanny, what'd you think of your guy, the Yerminator? He's lovable.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that little nugget there about him and Robbie Cano, don't you know? Hey, did you guys know that they were cousins? Do you guys know that?
No.
You guys know that?
No, we did not know that.
I love that part.
Yeah, well, because I was like, oh, God, is this a widely known fact that I'm supposed to know it, and I don't? Like,
you know, he knew he was giving you guys an exclusive.
He did.
Saving it for the radio. I love that.
I had a brief moment of panic, though. I was like, oh, God, am I supposed to know this? Because, no, I did not.
Cousins. Great. Cousins. I love the way he says cousins.
It was great.
Oh, man. Imagine the hitting tips flying around and the quality Dominican barbecue happening while they hang around and talk.
Just get a call from Robinson Cano. He's like, hey, my mom is a Mercedes. Did you know that we're cousins? It's incredible. Just on his mom's side. I mean, it's an unbelievable phone call to get when that's your favorite player growing up. That's just insane.
A guy on Twitter says that I asked Yermin Mercedes if he knew about the Terminator movies as if there were not movies in the Dominican Republic, as if they did not.
Well,
have
no.
Theaters.
I mean, because, I don't know because he's fair. A young guy, and that movie was like, you know, well, I know they made recent versions, but I only know one and two, really. And one was in the 80s and two was in the 90s. So
Hell, I didn't even see T3, and I loved T1 and T2. But seriously, I was trying to think of a line like, oh, you mean like, I'll be back. No, that doesn't have any resonance or relevance at all. I wanted to say, you mean you're like, you're molten metal, like the cop in T2. But no, that wouldn't
I'm glad you didn't do that. Yeah.
T-1000. Yeah.
Doing it now. Doing it now.
Right, no, you're saving the good stuff for the power hour. I like it. 5 o'clock hour. That's perfect. All right, so the good stuff was
in last hour, the Johnny Cash and Tony La Russa compilation. We don't play it again because we just played it, unless we wanted to play it again, or we could just play it tomorrow or play it in perpetuity.
Well, it could be a running theme all season long. You'll just never know. I hope that's the last time we play it, ever.
I don't think He's going to speak again slowly. And so I'm thinking.
No, but tying it in with the mistake really is what drives it home.
I'm guessing there might be one or two more.
Oh, boy.
Hypothetically speaking.
It's possible.
So the good, the bad, the confusing from a Cubs win that, hey, is a Cubs win. We'll get into it next on The Score.
Anderson's 0-1. A swing and a fly ball toward left, down the line, deep in the corner. That ball's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer, Javier Baez. He hit a breaking ball. It might have been down and out of the strike zone, and he golfed it right down the line in left. His second of the year. It's a two-run homer, and the Cubs lead 3-2.
Pat Hughes with the call. It's Parkins and Spiegel on The Score. You liking the music, Spiegel? You're bouncing.
I'm enjoying the whole vibe. Yes. The music sounds like a hip-hop-infused update or sample usage of Lakeshore Drive by Aliotta Haynes and Jeremiah. So,
indeed, Spiegel. That's a Chicago hip-hop artist Matlock with my guy Kaz One doing production.
That's very cool. Love it. By the way, if anybody doesn't know, all the songs that Chris Tannehill uses as part of our bumps and opens are available on Spotify. There's a Spotify playlist for Parkins and Spiegel, and he's turning me on to stuff every day, and maybe you too, so it's cool.
So, yeah, so check out the playlist on Spotify. The Cubs got the win. Craig Kimbrell was the brightest bright spot, and we should talk about Kimbrell. But the Baez homer fascinated me, Speaks, because you know my opinion of like StatCast and the data in baseball, where it's like
I get that you can measure and quantify everything, but sometimes I feel like it is just a number for the sake of a number, where it's like, ooh, the exit velocity on that was 106. Really? Yep. It looked more like 104.
Yep, you hit it hard. Good call. Yeah, thank you for that. Appreciate it.
Hit it hard, right. But during the broadcast, they showed something that I thought was absolutely a interesting, useful piece of baseball information, and it was that since they had been tracking such data, 2008, that was the sixth lowest ball ever hit for a home run. So in 13 years of keeping the data,
it's amazing.
It was the sixth. It was less than a foot off the ground. It was like 0.84 feet off the ground was the Javi Baez home run. And so I'm thinking, like, well, that's amazing that he can do that, right? It's Vladimir Guerrero-esque. But the problem with Javi is that he swings at that stuff so often. It's not like he only swings at the ones that he gets that he drives over the wall. And it's like, because he can do that, he's probably never going to be disciplined enough to lay off the slider low and away, where Joe Maddon would always say, if he could lay off that, he'd be Manny Ramirez with plate discipline. Like, he's gotten to this level, he's been so successful, he has results like that, that I don't know that Javi Baez is ever going to be the disciplined hitter that we've been talking about him becoming for the last 4 or 5 years.
No, I don't think he will. I don't think he will. He also walked today, which was
also first, newsworthy.
Yeah, it was. First walk of the season, and I heard Boog Shambi say the first in, I think, 138 at-bats, something like that.
It's too many.
So, no, he's never going to be that guy. But some people are not that guy. You know, so Vladimir Guerrero didn't really end up being a disciplined guy, but he hit enough of those, golfed enough of them out, hit enough of those crazy pitches out that he made his way to the Hall of Fame. I thought of Vlad Guerrero. I also thought of Kirby Puckett, who would swing at something anywhere, swing at a ball anywhere, and have the ability to hit it hard in the strike zone, out of the strike zone, above his eyes, wherever. Some guys have those kind of crazy skills, man. And they are who they are. But you're right, it's the double-edged sword. This is the double-edged sword that rears its head so often in baseball and other sports, too. Like, the same stuff that makes you great can make you really limited or can hurt
you. So I guess what I'm asking is, in this era of baseball where the strikeout rates are so elevated, right? Like, Javi strikes out a lot, and so he swings at those things a lot. So is it a net positive?
So far, yes, he is a net positive. Absolutely, he is a net positive, especially when you add in the base running. Another stolen base today, Javi, for Javi, who is aggressive. And you add in the defense. Made a really nice play on a play up the middle today that he made look easy. That was not easy. So, yes, he is a net positive, but it is also why you have to decide whether you really want to give somebody like that $180 million or $200 million. That's why he's compelling. It's why he's interesting. And it's why he's confounding on a lot of ways. Because you see that, you're like, man, so few people could do that. So few.
Yeah, and no question, I asked the question poorly, that with the base running and the defense, of course, overall as a baseball player, he is a net positive. I guess I meant the offensive approach. Like, which would you rather have? The guy who you don't get that home run that maybe 5% of guys in baseball can hit out of the park, if that, but you get a more representative, repeatable plate approach because – man, some of Javi's at-bats this year are just awful, but then he has home runs like that, and it's what keeps you coming back to him.
I would love having a guy like that if I didn't have a whole bunch of other guys also like that.
Sure, that's a good way of putting it. Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
That's the thing. It's like you end up, when you have a lot of guys like that, then you are what you are. Like, I really enjoyed this win. Okay, I enjoyed that all the runs came from homers, Bryant with another one, Baez, and Rizzo. When they homer, they're a good offense. We've lived this now for a lot of years. Power is the great baseball offense deodorant. Home runs are like, it's like, okay, man, there it is. And it comes often against mediocre pitching, especially. And then real good pitchers in the playoffs miss your bats. And you're back to thinking, man, what happened? And so it's going to take more than just power against bad pitching to convince anyone justifiably so, that the Cubs offense is back or something like that. At least they had a lot of other hits too. They had 11 hits today, and that's good. They had 21 overall coming in. They had 11 hits today, and that matters. And guys making contact, you know, Jock Peterson with a hit off a lefty today. That stuff matters. So, you just need, we've lived this reality of when they homer, the offense feels good. And when they don't, it feels like the 124 batting average they came in with, right? It feels very familiar today.
I no question about it. I just thought that home run in particular, given that even by Javi's standards of ridiculous,
yeah,
that was something that in the last 13 years of baseball and home runs,
amazing.
It was the sixth lowest to the ground. Like that, the degree of difficulty of that home run is a 99th percentile thing. And so that shows you the skill set. But if you've watched every at-bat of Javi this year, there's a lot of bad mixed in there too. But that's the positive. Right there is what you get for watching all those bad strikeouts and all those seemingly selfish at-bats. That home run today is the payoff.
That's the special. Absolutely. That's
right?
The stuff that makes him special. One other trend, Danny, that continues. Last year, the Cubs scored more than 2 runs more per game on the road than they did at home. They had a 210 batting average at home last year, the worst in the history of the franchise. 354 slugging at home last year, worst since 1946. For whatever reason, and it continues a week in, only a week in, but they go on the road in a horrific slump and breakout. So good for them. I don't know if you watch the early part of the game. They swung at the first pitch. 5 of the first 6 guys, I think 7 of the first 9 guys, swung at the first pitch. That is clearly a collective mindset they came into today with. Let's stop waiting. If you see your pitch early, just go ahead and take it. Let's break out of this thing. And it worked.
Yeah, and Rizzo's homer was on the first
yes.
pitch. So yeah, they'd been. It was a little embarrassing how passive they had gotten at the plate. I also want to mention, Spiegs, for Northside baseball fans, the Home Team Hero Contest is back. You or someone you know can be recognized by Pat and Ron as our fan of the game. From now through October 1st, nominate a first responder or frontline healthcare worker who happens to be a super fan of the Northside team. It will be great as we're going to be able to recognize new fans every game. Go to 670thescore.com/hero for all the details and nominate your local hero today. Sponsored by Proven Winners, the number one plant brand for annuals, perennials, and shrubs, visit provenwinners.com. So, what's up, Danny?
We have a development on the south side.
Okay.
Sox leading 3-0, back-to-back home runs from Yoan Moncada and
Yermin Mercedes.
Friend of the show.
It's the first inning, and it's Brad Keller, baby.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the
Lance
show.
Lynn. I saw Lance Lynn struck out the first 2 guys.
Yeah, he did.
And now Yermin.
Yeah, basically, Yermin had the phone from your guys' interview. Gave it to Billy Russo and then hit a home run. That's how I saw it happening anyway.
I agree. He was just so comfortable that we got him in the right frame of mind because he really seems to struggle with mindset. And we were able to get him ready. Obviously, we hit that home run.
Listen,
ipso facto.
And the pimp job on the home run. Oh, my God. Wait till you guys see it.
Beautiful.
Oh, he just stood there.
Change the game, baby. Change the game. I'll tell you what. 100% of the time he talks to Parkins and Spiegel, he homers. You take that math to the bank. That's what your mean Mercedes does. Speak to us, go yard, facts.
Tanny Shane, were you listening to the last segment of the show? Or were you just watching the game?
We have our headphones on.
Nice job doing the read for the Home Team Hero.
Thank you for the Home Team Hero. We've got our headphones on. I'll say that.
Man, I broke out like hardcore Cubs stat knowledge.
Yeah, I heard your stuff about Jock. I heard that stuff.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
It's good. I can tell. It's good. I like it.
Javi's homer was a towering line drive, right? We established that.
Yeah, it's up in the zone.
It's good. It's good. You know, it is what it is. It'd be like... Danny, if Rounders was on and I was trying to talk to you, you know?
I'm locked
or
in.
Or the wire.
Thank you. Yeah. Today, man, I had the Masters going with the Cubs game and getting ready for the show. It was a hard day at the office.
You know what I was doing today?
What's that?
Today, I prepared. I printed out the game notes from the Cubs website. I prepared my scorecard, wrote down all my notes, and nephew Jack McMullen, the play-by-play voice of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, came over and gave me tips as I practiced for three innings of play-by-play. Did three innings of play-by-play off the monitor as I watched Boog and JD without the sound on Marquee, preparing myself for my five innings of fame, as your boy Jeff Agrest put it in the Sun-Times. He is your guy, by the way. I've established
that. Why is he my guy?
Because he feels I think he feels a little bad that he put you 18. I think he feels a little bad.
That's ridiculous. I mean, it was obviously a horrible ranking, and there were some egregious people who were in front of me. But it's fine. I'm over it. Not bitter at all.
Can't
wait for next year's list. The amount that we've mocked it is probably going to change how he's going to do it. He's going to start doing, like, talk show hosts, then color commentators.
Well, he'll realize he'll get more pub if the lower you are on the list.
It's true, because we're the only ones talking about it. It's true. But I already have my personalized 18 Sox jersey, so I can't go much lower, Tanny. Although, if I'm off the list entirely, then Agrest is dead to me.
I'll tell you what. If next year's list comes out and I'm 17, Like, what are we going to do?
And I'm off the list?
I was going to say, Spiegel's like the only new person that's been injected to that list, I think.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, right? I wasn't on that list. I didn't make a big stink about it. But next year, if I end up above good old 18 over there.
It's true. What if next year you crush these play-by-play innings that I got you?
And then
next year on Agrest's list, you're higher 16. Than me. And you're like, man. And the little blurb is, not only does he carry Parkins in afternoons, but he's versatile as a play-by-play voice as well.
Wow. It's
what if like it ends up being the Matt Spiegel show with a revolving door of co-hosts?
Just see if Decker's available is all I'm saying.
Anything's possible. But no, congrats on the press in the Sun Times. That's fantastic. When is your first fifth inning?
The 25th of April on a Sunday. Boog Shambi does Sunday Night Radio. Pat Hughes does the game on Marquee. Zach Zaidman becomes Pat Hughes, and I become Zach Zaidman for about five games. Looking forward to it.
It's great. April 25th.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait.
But
it's unfortunate it's not a weekday so that we didn't have a show that day so that we could, like, really get in your head leading into it. And we have to also come up with what a catchphrase is. You have to drop in a show reference somewhere within the fifth inning.
Is
that a Sunday night game, you said?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a Sunday day game.
Okay, I was worried I was going to have to tune out A-Rod for a little bit. No dice. I love you and all, but.
I wouldn't do that to you. I wouldn't pull you away from A-Rod and the Zgurge.
Roger Bozard.
Roger Bozard got a gold rake today from Tony La Russa.
That was my favorite thing that's going to happen today because they wanted the photo op with it, and it looked very heavy. And, like, he had to lift it for the photo op, and I don't think, I was thrilled about it.
Tanny, you got vaccinated today. That's going to be your favorite thing that happened today?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's Roger Bozard getting his well-deserved gold rake.
Man, that is tremendous. He should rake all the gold at his house. I imagine he has gold at his house. He can just use the gold rake to.
What is he, Scrooge McDuck? What are you talking about? Gold at his house?
I don't know.
The White Sox game? You don't know.
Okay. I really don't know. I'd like to punt on that one. If I
all right, fine.
I got your Scrooge McDuck reference, Danny. DuckTales.
Thank you.
But I appreciate it. It rescued me. It rescued my horrific
imagery. I tried my best.
I know. I appreciate it.
They give out weird gifts on the side. They give out rings for hitting the cycle.
Oh, that's my favorite. That is still my favorite.
Real weird things they give out there, like MVP awards. Yeah.
Boom.
Real weird.
They give out weird signed jerseys when you tear your pack. It's weird.
That is weird.
And they give out Cuban sandwiches look like glorified ham and cheeses.
It was a rough sandwich that's making its way across the internet from opening day. Yeah, they'll do better the next homestand. It's fine. We'll put a bow on this thing, maybe answer a question or two. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the score. Yo, you guys were not lying about that your mean Mercedes home run.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad info out there, Danny. We wouldn't do that.
485 feet.
I think that's a little specious, but whatever. It was a bomb. And how about the slow walk and then the bat flip? Shane sold us on the pimp job, but the bat flip was glorious as well. He's fun.
Wait, why is it specious? Are you able to tell? You're like, no, that's really, I can tell by my eye, that's really more like 460 feet. What do you mean?
I'm comparing it to how deep other home runs have been at that ballpark and not been given that designation. That's like the third longest home run ever. So it just.
Well, speaking, you got to think about inflation. 2021 is different.
It's true. Yeah, it's right. True.
And the pandemic.
Excellent.
In a
point.
Pandemic. Totally right.
Yeah. So someone we said on social media that Yermin Mercedes homers 100% of the time he's interviewed by Parkinson Spiegel.
Yes.
Someone responded and said, yeah, he was probably agitated. It's not bad. It's not bad.
That makes
took
sense.
Took out his frustrations.
Touche.
On the baseball, yeah. Saw that going differently in my mind. Well, do you think you are ready to do 4 hours tomorrow?
I'm bursting at the seams. We got stuff to talk about. We got things to do. Let's do a full show tomorrow. I'll do Hit and Run Sunday. Let's do a full week next week. Well, mostly. Let's go. Radio, mister.
Good. I'm ready for it. Enjoy the rest of the Sox home opener. Hopefully they get it in without any interruption. But don't worry. Roger Bossert has a golden rake to deal with anything that...
Roger Bozart.
I'm gonna workshop a better line about the gold rake between now and tomorrow. I'll see you here.
Oh,
all right. See you back.
Top
here.
Five jokes you should have said about the golden rake tomorrow, 3:45. Thank you to Brian Gerch. He runs our Twitch chat. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Thank you to Yermin Mercedes. He was our only guest today. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day. Best of, then Bulls basketball. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. We are Parkins and Spiegel. This is The Score.
Fried chicken, yeah. Closer to the weekend, Thursday, and then Friday, here comes the weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.